Translation. The personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, being prayed to by Brahma to bring welfare to the earth, was begotten by Vasudev in the womb of his wife Devaki in the prison of the king of Bhoja. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And I'm just requesting if you could please kindly be very attentive to every single sentence in this purport. I found it very, very deep. Every single sentence says so much, has a significant point of it. It's a very short purport, but it is every sentence makes a very, very significant statement. Although there is no difference between the Lord's pastimes of appearance and disappearance, the devotees of the Lord do not generally discuss the subject matter of his disappearance. Vidura inquired indirectly from Uddhava about the incident of the Lord's disappearance by asking him to relate Krishna Katha, or topics on the history of Lord Krishna. Thus, Uddhava began the topics from the very beginning of his appearance as the son of Vasudev and Devaki in the prison of Kamsa, the king of the Bhojas at Mathura. The Lord has no business in this world, but when he is so requested by devotees like Brahma, he descends to the earth for the welfare of the entire universe. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 8, Paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya chadushkritam dharma samstapanatada sambhavami yuge yuge. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Ragutatam Vitam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Patik Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radha Ivrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavinibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So once again, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 2, Text 25. So with the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the blessings with the of the Vaishnavas, I will attempt to speak a bit on this particular shloka. So let's first start contextualizing, you know, who is speaking here. So if you remember the beginning of this chapter, Vidura was asking questions of Uddhava. And this chapter is entitled The Remembrance of Lord Krishna. So earlier Vidura asked Uddhava to speak about Krishna, and we know that Uddhava is a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Right from his childhood, we see also in the same canto 3, chapter 3, text 2, we learn about how Srila Prabhupada explains that Uddhava, even when he was from being a little boy, as young as the age of 5 years old, his mother used to have to call him to come and take his breakfast because he would be so busy engaged in devotional service. And what was his way of, at that age, engaging in devotional service or in remembrance of Krishna? He used to play with dolls of Krishna. So he used to bathe them, change them, worship them. In this way, it's same like our deity worship. So he was actually performing deity worship of Lord Krishna from his very young years of his childhood. So he was always fully engaged in Krishna's service and a great devotee of Lord Krishna, of course. So he was a liberated soul, a Nitya Siddha. And his natural instinct was always to serve Lord Krishna. So in this way, a liberated soul, a Nitya Siddha, never ever forgets his relationship or the position of Lord Krishna and the Lord's activities. He's constantly remembering it. So this has been a very painful position that he's been placed in, because Vidura is inquiring from him about Lord Krishna and his pastimes, etc. Now we know that when Krishna was about to depart, Vidura was present when Lord Brahma had approached Krishna in Dwarka, and I'm going to come to that shortly. And Krishna was, it was imminent. He could understand that it was imminent that the Lord was going to wind up his pastimes and leave the planet. And being this devotee, an intimate servant and devotee of Lord Krishna, he also wanted to leave with the Lord, and he wanted the Lord to allow him to depart to the spiritual world together with him. But Krishna gave him very specific instructions, and therefore he had to stay behind to execute the instructions of Lord Krishna. So his instructions were to go to Badrika Ashram, because remember, despite Krishna being here for all that time, over 100, almost 125 years, he had not once himself gone to Badrika Ashram to give his darshan, his association to the sages there, etc. And Krishna wanted him to go and speak and impart instructions that would be left behind for the rest of us as well. So Krishna had requested him to go to Badrika Ashram. Now he's an eternal associate of Lord Krishna. So here we find ourselves with Vidura actually wanting to know, how did the Lord leave the planet? But he was too awkward to ask such a question. I want us to reflect as well. Sometimes we find ourselves, and this is on a totally material, mundane platform. So can you imagine on that spiritual, transcendental platform, how much more deeper that affliction of pain must have been when the Lord had left, and particularly for such a great devotee who was so attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Uddhava. So we find sometimes when we experience that, we've been informed that so-and-so passed away, etc., and it sometimes comes as a shock to us because we didn't expect that person to pass away. So sometimes we go to a funeral and we've just got the message that the person passed away. And when we get there, we're kind of curious. What happened? How did he leave? Was he ill, etc.? But as we don't want to be rude at that time and directly ask the immediate family members, etc. At least for myself, perhaps I shouldn't speak for everyone. But when I find myself in that situation, I would kind of like ask others who are there and who may know what happened, who are close to this person. And I wouldn't go directly into, hey, how did he die? Sounds too harsh, too cruel. This person is also in grief. So I kind of like very euphemistically, what happened? Was he ill? This came all of a sudden to me. I'm kind of like taken aback by this news. So in this way, we want to get the information, but we want to be sensitive to the situation and to the circumstances itself. Like I also remember when I was the previous director for child protection, the global duty child protection officer, and in my training, devotees who were engaged in child protection teams, I used to say that when a person wants to make a disclosure of abuse, they're first going to wonder, before they disclose it, they're going to ask themselves, if I tell, will this person listen? And secondly, if this person listens, will they do something about it? So, you know, if I could just make a you know, it's a wide stretch of using that example to what I want to explain right now. But likewise, for the information about Lord Krishna's appearance, and particularly his disappearance, which Srila Prabhupada says is not generally spoken about. One, you know, the person who's going to speak is going to want to know, is this person genuinely interested in the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And how is this information going to benefit this person in their spiritual life? And the only way it could benefit us is by establishing the fact that Krishna was no ordinary person. So his departure was not an ordinary person's departure. It's not like when we leave our bodies. We are in these material bodies. We know that the soul is eternal and the soul transmigrates at the time of death. But Krishna appeared in this world in his spiritual body. So his departure from this world cannot be compared to the ordinary living entities passing away. And that's the significant point. If at all it has to be spoken about how the Lord departed, that is the significance. We're not focusing on the entire, you know, the details, but to establish the point of his departure not being ordinary. So, when Uddhava was asked this question, you know, and like I said, Vidura had asked generally about the history and the activities of the Lord, knowing that indirectly, as Srila Prabhupada says, he would speak about how the Lord left as well. And if we look at the chronological, you know, aspect of how Uddhava starts relating, he starts, you know, even in this particular verse, he speaks about the appearance of the Lord, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, being prayed to by Brahma to bring welfare to the earth, was begotten by Vasudev in the womb of his wife Devaki in the prison of the king of Bhoja. So he's going through describing the Lord's appearance, his activities, and eventually we'll get to his disappearance as well. So in the previous verses, a little earlier, Uddhava said, "My dear Vidura, the sun of the world, Lord Krishna has set, and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time." So there's a nice analogy there about the rising and the setting of the sun. We all know that, you know, the sun exists and is in its position in the solar system. We have learned when we were in school about the earth rotates and in 24 hours we go through one rotation and then we experience day and night as a result of that rotation. And then there's the revolution, you know, which takes 365 and a quarter days for our material calculations. And when we see the rising of the sun, some other place on this planet is experiencing nighttime, right? Because of the position of the globe in relation to the sun at that time. So the sun appears to rise in the morning for us here, and it sets in the evening. But that place which is experiencing night, whilst we are experiencing daylight, doesn't, the inhabitants, they don't believe that the sun doesn't exist or it's gone away. The sun remains in its position. But it appears to rise and set. But the sun doesn't itself rise or set. It's always there. So Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance in this material universe is compared in this analogy to the rising and the setting of the sun. So he never really leaves, but he just appears and he disappears in that way. So when he appeared 5,000 years ago, he appeared in his eternal form by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. So why did he appear? Let's see. Perhaps anyone wants to share, why did Lord Krishna appear? Yes. Yes, to kill the demons. Good. He came, and his one of his main purposes was to kill the demons. And why did he come to kill the demons? I mean, he wanted to. Yes. But more importantly, he was asked by whom to appear. Lord Brahma, yeah? He headed the sages and he had come because Mother Bhumi had been complaining of the burden on the earth because of all the demons. Yes?
Because Brahma was taking the legs off
the cow. Yes, we're going to get to that. Kali Yuga will be coming at the end. Right? So Krishna had, he was requested by Lord Brahma and the demigods to take, to appear and to vanquish the demons. So as a result of their prayer, he had appeared. But upon the conclusion of his discussion with them, when he had been requested to appear, he had also directed them to also take birth, to appear on this planet as well. So they appeared as various personalities within his family and within the Yadu dynasty as well. So when Krishna descends, he comes with his entire, eternal associates appear with him as well. So the demigod and his personal expansions as well come along to execute his purpose here. So when does he appear? And that is stated in Bhagavad Gita as well. Yadya yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutyanam adharmasya taratmanam shijami aham. Krishna says, whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So Krishna has come because there's a decline in religious practice. And like the little boy said just now, and Prabhupada had quoted this in his purport as well, paritranaya sadunam. Right, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. So his purposes are very clear here. He's come to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish religious principles. So this is why he spoke Bhagavad Gita. He gave his message on the battle of Kurukshetra of establishing Dharma and the process of Bhakti Yoga as the process for liberation from this material world as well. Because if it was only to kill the demons, he didn't need to come personally. We can see Krishna has these agents that, there's so many ways, even in our own lifetime, we can experience, a whole number of people, mass destruction. Earth is overburdened, and then there's mass destruction by natural forces, natural disasters, etc. So in this way, Krishna does not need to come personally, but more especially to give pleasure to his devotees, and to establish the principles of religion, he comes personally. So we even see that in his pastimes, he killed demons himself personally, like right in the early years of his childhood. We heard, 2 days ago, we were spoken about Putana and how he had killed her and how she had attained liberation because she had taken on that motherly role. Then we also see there's various demons, Aristasura, Bakasura, and, all those demons that he had killed personally. But then we find that during the Battle of Kurukshetra, which he orchestrated as well in terms of the armies, forming on the battlefield. And there was all the demoniac kings on the planet. He got them to gather in one place and then vanquished all of them. But there he did not do it personally. The killing of those demoniac kings and their armies, he did not do it personally. Rather, he gave the glorification of that to his devotees, to the Pandavas, to Arjuna specifically. So Krishna does not need to come personally. He can make these kind of arrangements for these demons to be annihilated. But This is how, you know, Krishna is the perfect script writer. I think yesterday, the Prabhu, that's Antaranga Prabhu, had given the class, and he was saying how Krishna sets the scene. So just like that, Krishna is the perfect script writer. He's also the casting director. He told all of them to appear when he's coming, so they play their various roles in his leelas. And then he is the lead actor. So in this way, he arranges everything so nicely. Everything happens by Krishna's arrangement. As we know, it is said, not even a blade of grass moves without his sanction. Unlike ourselves, which brings me to the point again, Krishna appears at his own free will, whereas we are bound by the cycle of birth and death, and according to our karmic actions, determines the body that we take, where we will be born, whether we're born into a wealthy family, a poor family, what lives we are thrown into, our environment, etc. We have no control over that. I mean, I was here in May. Little did I expect to be back here in the UK again for the second time this year. My trip was, to some degree, I had no free will in it, because the date of my departure was determined by when I'd get my visa by, when I am going to leave the UK was determined by when does peak season go down, so the ticket prices will be cheaper. So all of these factors are controlling the decisions that I had to make, as much as to some degree I made those decisions. But there were various factors put into place that shaped my arrival, my departure, what would happen here. Certain things are outside of our control, but it's all within Krishna's control. So, coming back to this, Krishna's appearance is unlike ours. His is all by his own determination and his free will itself. So, Vidura, by asking Uddhava these questions about the history and activities of the Lord, is actually asking for our benefit, so that we would know and get to hear these pastimes. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo yeti tatvaha twakta deham punar janma naiti mam eti so Arjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So that is how important and significant knowing and understanding the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance and his activities. So if we can understand his appearance is not material, it is not mundane, his activities is not that of a mundane person, and if we can recognize the unique position of Lord Krishna as being the supreme personality of Godhead, being eternal, the cause of all causes, then if we adopt that mood and we constantly meditate on his activities and his name, his forms, his pastimes, his activities, of course, then remembering those at the time of death, Krishna says, you know, we will attain his eternal abode, so we will go to him. And don't we all want to do that? Because this material world is a place of misery. It's a place of suffering. So Srila Prabhupada says that there is no difference between the appearance and disappearance of the Lord, but the devotees generally don't speak about the Lord's disappearance. Have you ever heard of the disappearance day of Lord Ram? Of the disappearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev? We celebrate, we observe Gaur Purnima, Ram Navami, Nrisimha Chaturdasi, Janmashtami, Radha Ashtami. But we never ever observe on the Vaishnava calendar when's the disappearance day. However, for our Vaishnava acharyas, we observe both the appearance and the disappearance days. These are nitya siddhas, eternal associates of the Lord. Because when they depart from here, we celebrate that they are actually reuniting into the eternal pastimes of the Lord. So those are celebrations for us, right? And when we just think of those, I mean, and it brings to my mind right now, in the recent past, such great Vaishnavs have left the planet, you know, and two, just to mention two in the recent past, you know, when I speak of Vaishnavs, I'm speaking about those that have been gurus here. We see Bhakti Charuswami, and I know how painful that was, you know, and even His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Swami more recently. So, if we can experience such pain by just their departures and the missing their association, and just sometimes listening to a kirtan or listening to a class, just hearing the voice itself of how present they still are with us, evokes such emotions. Can you imagine how Uddhava must have felt at that stage as well? So, in this way, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So we know that while Lord Krishna was here, he spoke Bhagavad Gita. So he annihilated the demons. He spoke Bhagavad Gita for our benefit. And Battle of Kurukshetra had taken place. All the demons gathered together, all vanquished. So who was left on the planet now? Apart from himself, and it was just his family members, the Yadu dynasty. And these were, so who appeared with him, like I said earlier, it was the demigods and his personal associates. So he had been approached, we see in the 11th canto, once again, Lord Brahma comes, prays to him, and says to him, "My Lord, you have all the projects that we had given you, you have accomplished them. It's time to wind up." Because he had executed what he had come to fulfill, kill the demons, establish religion, it's time to wind up now. But Lord Krishna knew at that time, before he departed, the Yadu dynasty had to depart as well, because they were such great warriors that they were undefeatable. No one would be able to defeat them. So he had to once again create script write how to engineer their departure from this world. So Krishna created that situation yet again, right? And as we know, the young princes were engaging in some sort of prank, and they had dressed Samba as a pregnant woman and asked the sages. So Vishwamitra, Atri, Durvasa, Bhrigu, Vasistha, and all of them were there. So they went in a very boisterous kind of way and say, "Oh, here's this pregnant woman. Can you tell us whether she is going to give birth to a boy or a girl baby?" So in this way, it appeared as if they were testing the sages to see, you know, were they powerful enough to predict correctly whether it's going to be a girl baby or a boy baby. And they naturally took offense to this because they understood this was just, you know, being very impudent to come to test us. And what did they say? "Fools." So the sages said, "Fools. She will bear an iron club which will destroy your entire dynasty." And that took them aback. And then they undid the covering, the cloth that was, you know, Samba was robed in. And as they were surprised to see, or rather shocked to see, that there was this iron club that was there. So they didn't know what to do with it. So they had approached Ugrasen, who told them, you know, they needed to destroy this club. So they ground it into powder and threw the powder together with the remaining lump that was there into the water of the ocean. So the club, this iron club, was ground up and it became speckles of iron dust thrown into the ocean, but there was one little remaining piece of iron. the waves of the ocean brought those pieces back ashore, and whilst when it returned to the shore, they grew into these tall, sharp canes. And that lump that was the piece of iron lump that was the residue, that was swallowed by a fish. That fish was caught by a fisherman, and it eventually landed up in the hands of Jara, the hunter. And there again, there's another pastime. You know, there's two versions of who Jara really was, and Krishna's promises in a previous lifetime to this personality in terms of how he would then have the opportunity in Krishna's Leela year to participate in this particular pastime itself. So, this is the Lord's Moshalya Leela, because we know that Jara used that particular piece of iron to assemble it onto the shaft of his arrow, and that arrow is the one that penetrated the foot of Lord Krishna. And we know that Lord Krishna's body is eternal. It is spiritual, unlike our bodies. I mean, I can't even use my wedding ring at the moment because my finger is swollen. This is the material body. Krishna's body cannot be hurt, cannot be harmed in any way. Krishna's established himself so many times over during his pastimes here that he is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he could bring back to life his teacher's son from the arrows of death, you know, if he could bring him back alive in the very same body, if he could protect Parikshit Maharaj from the Brahmastra weapon, what could ever have harmed Krishna if he wished it so? Nothing. So all of this was by Krishna's arrangement and by his desire of how he would leave the planet. Because if he could protect everyone, like I've just mentioned, by his will he could have, prevented this particular episode from happening as well. We know with various incarnations of Lord Krishna, we sometimes read about how they had appeared and how they had performed their pastimes, and we don't sometimes read about how they disappeared. No information is given about how they disappeared. Right? But then with Lord Ramachandra, we also read about how he left with his entire entourage and everyone. But Krishna had very specific purpose by leaving in the way that he did. And the body that he had assumed at the time of his departure for all the materialist, purposes for them, for their understanding. He had his spiritual body, it is said, but he had also covered himself up at that time with another covering of a body. So it wasn't his spiritual body that was left here. It was the covering that he had left behind. And that pastime, it is said, and I guess that's a topic for another day in another canto of Bhagavatam. You know, so the essential point that is being made here is about how the importance of understanding and remembering the appearance of Lord Krishna and the benefit, as stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, of always those who understand the transcendental nature of his appearance and activities will attain his abode at the time of death. So I very quickly want to go back to, and it's 25 past 8, I'm very mindful of the time right now. Quick purport, I just want to go back through each of those sentences again and wrap up. So Prabhupada is saying, although there is no difference between the Lord's pastimes of appearance and disappearance, the devotees of the Lord do not generally discuss the subject matter of his disappearance. So we've established that as well during our discussion this morning. The Lord's pastimes, his appearance and disappearance is transcendental. It's like the rising and the setting of the sun. He appears and he disappears. But the sun never really goes away. Always exists there. Vidura inquired indirectly from Uddhava about the incident of the Lord's disappearance by asking him to relate Krishna Katha or topics on the history of Lord Krishna. We've discussed about how this is important, its benefit, Vidura asking these questions for our benefit, so that we understand about the Lord's appearance and His pastimes. Thus, Uddhava began the topics from the very beginning of His appearance as the son of Vasudev and Devaki in the prison of Kamsa, the king of the Bhojas at Mathura. So we at that point where even Krishna's appearance, we see how He had appeared first in His four-armed form. Then He was asked by Vasudev to please appear like an ordinary boy, came in His two-armed form. But how it was from the mind, of Vasudev into the mind of Devaki and into her womb thereafter. And I think importantly as well, in conclusion, the Lord has no business in this world. But when He is so requested by devotees like Brahma, He descends to the earth for the welfare of the entire universe. So Krishna has no purpose here. But by the request of Lord Brahma, He had come. And likewise, we see in the 11th canto, Lord Brahma comes and says, "My Lord, your work is done here. He had come for the welfare of all humankind. It's time for Him to wind up and go." And therefore, Lord Krishna leaves the planet at that time. Hare Krishna. So if there's any questions, comments, any realizations that you'd like to share. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Champakalak Mataji. Your last statement that he descends to the earth for the welfare of the entire universe. You can see that on the planet Earth is benefited by destroying the miscreants. So how can we understand the whole universe? How does that? Could you expand on how it benefits the whole universe?
So the Lord's appearance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, if I understood correctly, Prabhu is asking, how did the appearance of Lord Krishna benefit the entire universe? We understand here, Mother Earth had pleaded for Him to, had approached Brahma, and then the demigods had approached Krishna. Am I correct in my understanding, Prabhu?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, on reflection, on thinking on that, I was thinking, well, maybe He did interact with some of the demigods, and maybe news got out, what was happening on planet Earth, or. But anyway, yeah, if you can expand on that.
Well, yes, go ahead. So my understanding, and I dare not speculate, but my thoughts would be that obviously what's happening on Earth and the living entities here and would have an implication in terms of when they depart, these living entities will have to depart. We have a limited time frame. There's two things that are certain, actually three things that are certain in life for us. We'll be born, we will die, and we'll pay our taxes. We can't get away from those three things. So, death is going to be certain for us. But, where we take birth in our next life, which planetary system in the universe is probably going to, be determined by our activities here as well, and which body we take. So perhaps in that way, the different planetary systems in the universe, there are consequences by our actions here and where we end up in that way as well. And also the burden on earth, we can see how that might have impacted the other planetary systems as well. Because the burden is not, Earth was feeling very pained by the demoniac activities that was taking place here. But I think it's a great question perhaps to ask someone who might have deeper knowledge in terms of this. I don't want to speculate any further. Yes, Maharaji.
Thank you for your Hare Krishna. You explained very nicely how different is Krishna's appearance and disappearance to ours. I was wondering, you know, sometimes when it's devotees' birthdays, I hear that they congratulate the person by saying Happy Appearance Day. I just wondering, is that correct way to do that? Since we don't really appear, you know, we take birth in the material body.
Yeah. So you know, that's another good distinction that we make, because we take birth, but Lord Krishna appears. We never ever say it's his birthday, but for us, it's our birthday, and then we have our death anniversaries, etc. There's a new thing that's happening as well, and I know we're just going over time. I want to stop very quickly. There's a new thing that's going around. Happy Heavenly Birthday. Have you heard that? on social media, people post Happy Heavenly Birthday to somebody who has departed. To that extent, it's gone now, right? People don't understand that the soul has left. They're not having their birthday today somewhere else. So, coming back to your point, Maharaji, yes, I think for Vaishnavas, you know, their birth is auspicious, particularly because they are going to now engage in Krishna service. But as together with that wish, what happens is we wish that it's your last birth, so that you can go back to Godhead. Yeah, that's our wishes as Vaishnavas for anyone who is celebrating and observing the anniversary of their birthday. But whether it's not their appearance day, so it's more like their birthday, because they've taken birth in this body. Yeah. The soul is eternal in that sense, yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, thank you for bearing with me. Please forgive me for any offenses that I may have committed. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.